All right, we're going to shift gears just a little bit. Tonight at the Hobart County Line Orchard at 200 South County Line Road, there's a very special event going on to help the Hobart K-9 Police Unit. So this is a little bit different than what we normally do on A Look at the Arts, but that's okay. We've got Corporal Simon Gresser and Scout. Scout is a Hobart Police K-9 officer, and they're with us today to talk about K-9 training and what the K-9s bring to the community as far as law enforcement and how they protect and serve, and then how the public can help, because in Hobart, there is a big event going on that I'm happy to be emceeing with and a part of, and it's a big fundraiser. And with that, Simon, tell us a little bit about what this event is about.
Basically, what we're doing is our K-9 unit at Hobart Police Department runs off through donations. So the monies that we collect throughout the year help us out with purchasing of new police dogs, also allowing our officers to be able to get further training and experience and equipment. So a lot of dogs eventually will work their way to retirement, and so this also helps offset some costs for the retired dogs when they get old and need some medical attention, mm-hmm. and this will help the handlers that still keep their dogs at the end too. So the monies that we collect throughout this also just help go to basically goes towards the K-9 unit for equipment, maintaining their proficiencies, mm-hmm. and also the handler.
Now, so Scout is your dog. He's a beautiful, giant, black German Shepherd, right?
Yes.
Which I'm going to post some pictures on our Lakeshore Public Radio Facebook page so listeners out there can see what he looks like. Beautiful guy. He was just sitting on a chair in here. He's probably ready to be interviewed as well. But so you're saying... When Scout's ready to retire, he goes and retires with you?
Yes. Most of the times the dogs will retire with the handler. Mm-hmm. In the event that it does not go back with the handler, we will find either a close friend, family, somebody within the police department that understand what these dogs are about and the training that goes with them. Mm-hmm. So we try to keep them definitely with their families, but in some situations, handlers may get another dog and it'll be too much for the home at times. Mm-hmm.
Well, can you talk a little bit about the training that goes into making a dog like Scout, a German Shepherd, into a police officer?
Absolutely. Usually what happens is the dogs are selected from a vendor or a broker. The dogs are tested and make sure they have the ability to do police work. Once they come into the K-9 unit, here at Hobart, we're a little bit unique. We do a lot of our self in-house training. I'm a master trainer with the American Police Canine Association, so I'm able to certify and train police dogs now. So my guys at our department will report to me, mm-hmm. And they will spend at least the minimum amount of time is about 5 weeks. So roughly at the end of their training, we're going to have about 400 hours in patrol work. Patrol consists of tracking, area searches, article searches for people, obedience, also handler protection and aggression. So that's kind of what the patrol side of things are when it comes to the police dog. And then not only that, we have detection is another probably 200 to 300 hours in mm-hmm. just detection work. And our detection at Hobart is all drug related. So mm-hmm. our dogs are all drug dogs. And we have 5 dogs in our program, so all 5 dogs are drug dogs.
But there are dogs trained for explosives and cadavers and mm-hmm. all the other things
Absolutely.
That are out there. Do you train them in those areas as well?
I just started working with some explosive detection dogs. I'm actually trying to work my way to get my certificate for explosive detection dog trainer, too.
Sure.
So I'm in the process of doing that now.
What's interesting about Scout, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he's the first full-time police dog in a school system, at least in this area. Is that correct?
Some years ago, they've had a dog assigned to a school corporation. I wouldn't say we're the first one in the
area. Certainly
but
unique.
It's definitely different. I mean, it's been a long time since they've had a dog in the schools, just for the simple fact of funding. Mm-hmm. You know, funding's the number one issue when it comes to school cities and not only the police department. So what I recall, since I've been in K-9 for close to 18 years, Fort Wayne School District was, I believe, one of the first of putting dogs inside the schools for a full-time position. So, yes, it is unique to have us in there. We are assigned to the school city of Hobart. This is a start, or I'm actually coming to the end of my third year at the school. with Scout.
Now, what's different about the police dogs today versus the police dogs we see of the 60s, where they're very aggressive, is he's trained in a passive manner. Is that correct? So the parents don't need to worry about, oh, there's this big German Shepherd in our school, because he's actually, he gets along very well with the students. I've seen him in action. But it's a passive, non-aggressive kind of thing.
You know, he, Scout is still a patrol dog, so yeah, we've trained him to do the aggression side of things. But the thing what comes with in the canine industry now is the selection process, and not only that, the genetics in the dogs are much more different than they were, you know, years ago. Like you said before, they back in the 60s and 70s, you look for that big, mean dog that was tied off to the tree and go, yep, that's going to be a good police dog or a military dog. Unfortunately now, you know, that it come to the point now where there's a lot of liability. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, and, sure. Yeah.
You know, so we have to make sure we test dogs now with very sound nerves. And, you know, it's all about meeting good brokers and that understand dogs. And then now we're able to get that next generation of police work dog.
I can imagine it. You really do have to choose or find dogs that are capable of that, because a dog could potentially be in a situation where there's a lot of loud gun noise or just bangs and stuff that could really throw them off.
As Tom well knows, I mean, in a passing period at the Hobart High School, you're having 11 to 1,300 kids pass at one time.
That's a lot.
So it's like I tell people, it's like swimming upstream. So to see a large group of people coming at you, it takes a dog with very strong nerves to be able to handle and manipulate through that without having any accidentals, bites, for example.
Now, I remember about a year or two ago, I did a big piece in the Times on Scout because it was a pretty unique situation, and I was substitute teaching there, and I got to know him a little bit, and it's interesting to see how the kids gravitate to him. I mean, it's kind of a neat thing because you've got kids that, you know, there's bullying and all these other things going on, but they seem to take to Scout and to Simon in almost a counselor kind of way. And that's kind of unique.
It is. It's, you know, when I took the position at the school, I came in already having an edge on it because everybody loves dogs. Majority of people love dogs. So they might not know my name, but majority of the kids know Scout's name. And they, like you said, they gravitate to the dog. So right away, it's the icebreaker. You know, the barriers come down. They start talking to the dog. They start petting him. And then pretty soon, you know, the kids are telling their whole story without me even saying one word. You know, so it is very special thing. It's a very powerful thing.
Almost
to
like
have
a therapy dog.
It is.
As well as a police dog.
And I've been nicknamed that now amongst my comrades. You know, so we're now the therapy dog handlers.
How have you seen the positive side besides that with having a dog full-time in school? Are you seeing a lot less drugs being brought into school? Because you'd have to be pretty stupid to say, well, we have a full-time police dog, so I'm going to bring drugs.
Especially one who is as big as a Scout. I would not want to get on his bad side.
Yeah, it is definitely curved. I mean, we have information and data that shows that since we've been put into schools, you know, we've curbed a lot of it. You know, unfortunately, you're still going to have kids make dumb mistakes, and try to test their limits. And in this case, you know, Scout will find it, you know, and test their limits, you know. So the nose knows, you know. And
if you want to see Scout in action, you can do that this Friday at the County Line Orchard, because the fundraiser is going to be there. Scout going to be the actual demonstration dog? Or?
Well, we're going to have a couple of our dogs there. Scout will be one that'll be there in the building too that night. We're going to bring a couple dogs in because most of the time people always want to see the dogs. So we'll have them there so people can meet and greet with Scout.
What time is the event starting? Is that on there?
Yeah, 5 to 7.
5 to 7
is the canine show, and you're gonna have baskets and raffles, and then you've got comedy, and we're gonna talk about that in a minute. That starts at 7 and takes us through into the evening hours. It's at the County Line Orchard, which is right there on County Line Road, right between Hobart and Portage, and a beautiful facility if you've never been there. Now, you do have to be 21 to attend. It is there is going to be a bar, I'm assuming, since you're gonna be 21.
Yes.
Okay.
There will be alcohol there.
And let's talk about the canine show itself. What kind of things will we see, and how many dogs are you planning on?
We'll have 2 or 3 dogs there in the unit. We're probably doing some drug detection demonstration, showing you how the dogs are going to detect and how they alert on the drugs. And not only that, we'll talk and show you guys the change in behaviors of the dog. Of course, there's going to be a little bit of obedience that will be seen in there. most of the time we just keep the aggression side out of it, just because it just takes up a little bit more time. And a lot of people like to see the aggression part of it, but, you know, in this
Well, I've seen a couple where you put the big, like, the big suit on. You look like the Michelin man.
Exactly.
And the dogs will just go to town.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It scares me to watch it. Yeah. I'm like, wow. I would not want to be even inside that suit when you see some of these dogs do their job. How many dogs did you say Hobart has? Five?
We have five now. Yes, we do. We have dogs from their Dutch Shepherd. We have a Belgian Malinois, and we have three German Shepherds.
How hard are the different breeds to train?
You know, as long as they have the work that they want to do, I mean, it's, you can train just about any dog to do it, as long as they have the genetics and what takes place. So we'll, we're usually good, but my heart is with the German Shepherd. I give a lot of guys some business when they have their Malinois and their Dutch Shepherds, because they're just a little bit more of a drivier type of dog, more energetic. But the German Shepherd's always kind of like loyal, you know, easygoing, the guy, easy to train.
Sure. I can't get over Scat. I'm going to put a picture up of both of you guys on our Facebook page once this segment is done. I've never seen a dog more well trained and just kind of polite, and, but also huge, huge.
He's a big dog.
Yeah,
we had the dog from Annie in here.
Much different.
Much different dog. And an actor dog. It should know when to bark on cue, and it didn't. Will he make a noise if you tell him to?
Yeah, usually he'll sound off.
I hate to bother him. He's really kind of resting.
I know. I feel like we're...
Yeah.
You want to say something, Scott? Right.
Pass off. Pass off. Pass off. Pass off. Pass off.
No.
Pass off. Pass off. Good. Pass off.
There you go.
There he is.
Loud and proud.
Yeah.
Now, what were you saying, and what language was that?
Pass off is in German to speak or to bark.
Does he understand English?
You know, a couple of the commands are in English. He knows when I'm mad.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
How's that?
Well, here, every time he comes up to me, I'm like, hey, Scout, how are you? I'm talking to him. He's probably looking at me like, who are you and what are you saying?
I speak German, Tom. Come on. Is there a reason why you train him in German as opposed to English or any other language?
It has to come in where the dogs are imported from. So they're usually imported from somewhere in Europe. So we've had dogs from Czechoslovakia. We speak Czech, Dutch, you know.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, depending on where they're imported from.
What was it about canines that drew you as a police officer? Why is that your niche? Why is that your wheelhouse?
You know, everybody finds their thing in law enforcement. You know, a lot of guys are traffic guys. I was fortunate enough in the beginning of my career and got asked to be put in the canine unit. I've always had a dog in my life.
Sure.
And, you know, it's unconditional love. Like, I tell people this, I go, you stick this dog in the trunk of a car, you stick your spouse, you know, your loved one in the trunk of the car at the same time. You wait a little while, open that trunk up, which one's happy to see you?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think we may have to practice
you know?
That.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's unconditional love, and it's true. No matter what kind of day it is, if it's raining, snowing, hot, they're ready to come to work, you know, and they're sincere.
And he goes home with you then.
He does. Oh yeah, he lives with me and my family. I have a wife and a son, and my son's at the high school, and he interacts with them, and his friends interact with them. So he's just part of the.
That must be a really great feeling family. To know that you are at your son's high school as well, and Scout's there. He must enjoy that. You must enjoy that.
Oh yeah, yep. And it's nice because I've been part of these kids' lives from coaching baseball to so it's pretty nice to be a part of that and to see them and like. Tom was saying earlier, the kids just really come up to him. They don't come to see me a lot of times. They just come. I've got a bunch of dog walkers. They want to take them for walks to school now and all kinds
Scout's
of stuff.
Scout's got his own office. It's a little one. They share an office together.
Nice. His name's on the door.
Let's talk a little bit about this event again. We've got a few minutes left. The fundraiser is, again, Friday, March 24th. It starts at 5 o'clock. Doors open. Baskets, raffles, a canine show from 5 to 7. A comedy show. Now, these are not local comedians. These are guys from, you said, Comedy Central. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe some of them have been a part of Comedy Central, yes.
Wow. So, Dobie Maxwell, Jerry Donovan, and Steve Ayat?
Ayat.
How long will they each be performing?
Usually they're going to do like maybe 45 minutes, 55 minutes.
Each?
So it's,
Wow,
so
it's a long night.
Yeah, so it'll be right around there. Sometimes they go under a little under, maybe a little over. So we'll manage that as it goes through. But
how many years have you been doing this particular fundraiser?
I believe this is, we were just talking about it. I think this is going to be our fifth or sixth year doing this.
Always at the Orchard and
no,
always comedy?
We've traveled and gone to different venues. The Elks Club.
Which is no more.
Yes, that's correct.
Sadly.
That's right. The Ambassador. We've had it, and I think one of the first years we did it was at the County Line Orchard, which is just a big draw in itself. The County Line Orchard, it's a big barn. It's beautiful.
A lot of parking.
You know, and there's plenty of room. I think we've got some sound issues that are taken care of this year, so I'm not going to have any issues
I hope
with
so.
The sound.
Let's knock on wood.
But, yeah, it's been a good thing for us. It's a good draw for those guys that have cabin fever. It's nice to get out, you know, and it's a good night, good entertainment, you know. And I've never had any really no complaints. Everybody said,
"Is it always
keep
comedy?"
Doing it. It's always we've always done comedy.
That's kind first of a unique niche.
Yeah, we first started off with Disposable Theater Group was our ones that we first were doing it. They do improv, so they were really good to us and whatnot. And then we ended up going into some stand up because it was something different. So this is like I think our second or third year with stand up.
And once again, if you just joined us, what is this fundraiser helping? It's helping the retirement dogs, injured dogs?
It's actually helping just the Hobart Canine Unit in general.
The whole program.
It's going to go into the general fund of it. It helps us buy new dogs, take care of the retired dogs, buy equipment, get further training for my guys to be able to go and bring more good stuff back to our canine unit to help the community out.
Hope you have a great turnout out there.
And, looking forward to it.
Yeah, again, how can people go? Is there a website people can go to find out more information?
If you go on Facebook, Facebook is where we basically go off for everything. If you go to Hobart Canine, it's right there on it. You're going to see a list of all the baskets. The raffle items are on there. It'll have some times and the location and stuff like that.
Once again, that's tonight at the Hobart County Line Orchard, 200 South County Line Road. Doors open at 5 p.m. The comedy starts at 7 p.m. Between all that, you get the canine demonstration and lots of other stuff. So perhaps I'll see you there. Once again, thank you, Corporal Gresser and Scout, for taking time today. And good luck this evening.